from your family, David of Denora from Felicia, Alexis, and Leaf. And finally, we miss her, Shirley, from the Avalon Ridgetop. Her birthday is September 2nd. She would have been 86 years of age, poet emeritus of the Saturday Light Brigade. On September 3rd, Heather of Greensburg, Keith from Sarah and the Boys in Emsworth, and Gail of Stanton Heights from husband Patrick and son Vaughn. On September 4th, we have Adam of Forest Hills from Steve, Faith, and Sam, Butch of Braddock Hills from Matt, Christopher of Butler from Mom and Dad, David from Barbara, Annie, Olivia Parsons from cousins Catherine and Michaela, and from Nancy, Elizabeth of Brighton Heights from your family, and happy anniversary to June and Jack. On September 5th, Andy from Barb and Jean and Peter and all of us, Finn of Butler from Mom, Dad, and Brother Will, Randy from son Peter in California, Jim of Middlesex Township from Kylie, Caitlin, and Colleen, and finally, Joey of Blonox.
SLB announces listener birthdays at 8:55 a.m. every week. Would you like to surprise a friend or family member? Just send us the information and we'll mention their birthday on the radio the Saturday of or before it occurs. To add your birthday or surprise a friend or family member by adding theirs, visit slbradio.org/birthdays or write to us at slb@slbradio.org.
Include the birthday person's postal address and we will make sure a person in a uniform will hand deliver a Saturday Light Brigade birthday card, now in color, directly to their home. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green is here too. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLB radio.org/radio, where you can find links to TuneIn Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, our own servers, and how to listen by phone at 631-359-8728.
We are dust and earth, we are this planet's seed, we are the child at birth, we are this gentle breeze that drifts through tangled moss. We have traveled far and we have come. Toil. We are summer rain. We are the song of life, sung in unison. We have heard the cries and we have come. We have come. We have come. We have risen to our feet. Now we stand proud. God's holy word, and we have come. Yes, we have come. travelers through time and space. We will work these fields, we will sing and pray. We are the distant tongue of life's beaten drum. Let the voices sing, we have come. We have come. We have come. We have risen to our feet. Now we stand proud, everyone. We have seen the light, God's holy word. And we have come. Yes, we have come. We have come. We have come. We have risen to our feet. Now we stand proud, everyone.
Saturday Light Brigade, that is Ron Fettner. We have come. We are going to play Guess Who in just a few moments.
Assemble joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Assemble invites the community to Maker Date on Saturday, September 27th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Maverick Hotel. Maker Date features opportunities to bid on creative learning experiences with talented makers, as well as raffle baskets, games, food, drinks, and live music. Attendees are encouraged to wear costumes for the event. All proceeds benefit Assemble's STEAM education programs for youth in Pittsburgh. More information about Maker Date is available at assemblepgh.org/makerdate.
First off, we used to be called Warren Commercial Photographers. That's when I made pictures for people like Duquesne Light, furniture manufacturers, making steel. It would be published in magazines, and mostly for advertising purposes. And Boggs and Buell was a company on North Side here, which was a department store, very near where we're sitting right now. And they were my customer. One of the first ones. I made pictures of women's clothing, and I hired models, girls, and we had a studio up here on West North Avenue. That building still stands beside the Garden Theater. We ultimately made movies for Truvaux on how to build ships, how to build towboats. Ultimately, I ended up with a pretty good sized manufacturing shop. We made stuff for chemical warfare at one time. Not a happy business, where they make things to destroy millions of people with germ warfare. And you never saw any much of that. That was destroyed one time by the president.
Voices of labor from our oral history collections here at SLB. And you'll find full interviews of the men and women who you've heard throughout the morning at slbradio.org/catalog. Now it's time to give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge now. It's time to play Guess Who. We're about to give you a pair of initials, and it's up to you to guess who they belong to. Could be a man, a woman, somebody real, somebody fictitious, somebody from history, literature, entertainment, sports. No matter who it is, we think it's probably a name you've heard of before. And this week's initials are C. C. That C is in clarion, and C as in Chippewa. CC. You can guess as many times as you would like, and I'll mention the incorrect guesses that come in to help you narrow it down.
It's time to connect. Join us on or off the air by calling or texting us at 412-200-5975. You can also reach us at 1-888-752-7234 or through Interact Live at slbradio.org/radio. You're a big part of the Saturday Light Brigade.
Guess is already starting. Patrick is in Ohio, and he has Christopher Columbus, Courtney Cox, Coco Chanel, Cindy Crawford, Chevy Chase, Calvin Coolidge, and the correct answer. Well done. 412-200-5975. You are welcome to play Guess Who with us. Here comes another guess. It's James Freiberg with Claudette Colbert, Captain Crunch, Count Chocula, Chick Corea, Cindy Crawford, Cherie Curry, Cesar Chavez, Caitlin Clark, and Charlotte Caffey. None of those is it, but guess again. Here's Tom in McCandless. He's got the correct answer and a whole bunch of guesses, which include Chris Christie, Carol Channing, Chuck E. Cheese, Connie Chung, and Cassius Clay, among others. We'll share more of yours coming up. Nick in New York City also has a long list that includes the correct answer. When they're alliterative letters, it's hard for me to tell where the first names begin. Courtney Cox, Calvin Coolidge, Charlie Chan, Chuck Connors, Christopher Cross, Carl Carlton, Chatty Cathy, Caitlin Clark, and Connie Corleone, among some others. I'll try to mention the rest of yours, but you do have it correct, Nick. And here's Alan, who guesses Chocolate Chip. There probably is somebody with the nickname of Chocolate Chip, but not that is our Guess Who answer. Patrick has a guess here. I don't know who this is. I wonder if he's thinking of Clive Cussler. And that was autocorrect. If that's the case, let me know. Mike and Mars just got the answer correct for 12-200-5975. Mr. Ed, is that right, Ricky? Mr. Ed called from Emlinton. I'm glad you're tuned in with a guess of Charlie Chan. Charlie Chan, 412-200-5975. We have lines open and also text messages open. Alan just went from chocolate chip to the correct answer. Well done. And here is Linda with the correct answer as well. Plus, she's got Charlie Chase and Sid Charisse. Our number 412-200-5975. Pudge! Super Pudge has the correct answer. Well done, Pudge. John is in Economy Borough with Charlie Cale, the protagonist from Peacock's Poker Face, Charlie Callis, Sid Charisse, Carlene Carter, and Celia Cruz. Charlotte Corday, just guessed by Stu and McCandless. A figure of the French Revolution. And a few more guesses are coming in, and we'll do our best to acknowledge them. I see we have somebody that's going to join us. Oh, is this Mr. and Mrs. Ed are going to join us in just a moment. So hang on, Mr. and Mrs. Ed. We'll be there truly momentarily. Amy is in Uniontown. Hello, Amy. Thank you for checking in. And Mr. and Mrs. Ed, I am going to just acknowledge Norm, who's playing along online this morning. And then a couple guesses, and then we're going to get right to your call. Aline has Clark Candy, Candy Cane, and Candy Crush. Ed has the correct answer in Kaiser. Jim in Crepton Heights has Cesar Chavez and Christopher Columbus. And now the Mr. and Mrs. Ed Show. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. Are you in Emlinton calling this morning?
Yes, we're from Emlinton on the way to Allentown Scrabble Eating Contest.
Oh, no. Well, more about that in a moment, but you came up with the correct answer. Who is it that we were looking for?
Charlie Chaplin.
It is. Was he the first? Was he the first one that came into your head? Was he first?
Yeah, we were thinking that.
Well done. So, have you ever been to a Scrapple eating contest before?
Oh, no.
I did spaghetti eating last summer, and I came in miserably.
Okay, so your goal is to be the Joey Chestnut of Scrapple eating. You know, he's the guy that always wins the Nathan's Hot Dogs contest. Now, I would think... You got to have a love for Scrapple.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking Tupperware in case they can't eat it all. I'll bring home some leftovers.
That's a really good way of doing it. You, no waste. I have emceed, gastronomical adventures like this, but I've never participated in one. And I know that Scrapple would not be the one that I would do. So the spaghetti one was not particularly a success?
No, that was at the Pittston Tomato Festival.
Well, here it is, the Allentown Fair, today at 3 o'clock. The second annual Scrapple Eating Contest.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's going to be...
We're on our way.
The Astound Broadband Farm Arena Theater. It starts at 3.
Yes.
And...
Yes, look for me there at 3.
Are you going to be an individual or a group of 5? It says here... I'm reading the rules.
I can't wait.
You have 2 minutes to eat as much Scrapple as possible. And are you listening closely, Mr. Ed? I'm reading it. This isn't me. This is the rules talking.
I don't pay attention.
This is the rules talking. Any upchucking will result in disqualification. Now, upchucking is in quotes.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But you get $200 and $95.
Yeah, I'm skipping breakfast.
That's a wise thing to do. Well, we have somebody to root for here. I'm excited about this. You get $100 for first place or second place,
wow.
$50 for third place, and then you get gift cards to a place called Stoltzfus. Not sure who they are, but they're very generous people. And I bet they make Scrabble. it looks like a lot of fun. There's a Ferris wheel there and all sorts of rides. So good luck. I hope you are with us all the time, Saturdays, when you can be.
Have you usually eat my Scrabble early.
Do you tune in most weeks? Or did you just happen to stumble on us today?
I just stumbled on you. Auto-tune.
Oh, well, come back. We're always here at this end of the dial Saturday morning. And
okay.
We're excited. And good luck at the Scrabble eating contest today.
Thank you.
Take care. I'll post the link to the Scrabble eating contest in Allentown. $200 as the first prize. Charlie Chaplin is who we were looking for. Let me see if we had some other guesses come in. Patrick confirmed the answer that I'd given before. Claudette Colbert, guessed by Jim and Crafton Heights. So, correct answers from Super Pudge, from Linda and Collier, from Alan and Squirrel Hill, Mike and Mars, Nick in New York City, Patrick in Ohio, and from Tom and McCandless. Tom had some others. I think I mentioned Chris Christie, Chubby Checker, Cheat Chand, Chong, Captain Cook, Charles Comiskey, the baseball player, manager, and Chicago White Sox team owner. I think I've now mentioned all of his. And Nick and Susan in New York City. Also had Calvin Coolidge, Carol Channing, Chubby Checker, Connie Chung, Corleone, Carmine, Caitlin Clark, Connie Chung, Connie Corleone, Carmen Coppola, Chester Cheetah, and Captain Crunch. Congratulations if you came up with Charlie Chaplin. Don't you want to root Mr. and Mrs. Ed on? You know, if you've known me as long as you have, my attitude here is somebody has to eat the Scrabble, and it might as well be Mr. Ed. Simply stated, it's an acquired taste that I've failed to acquire.
My father was head pressman and mechanical superintendent at the old Pittsburgh Courier, and he took me over as soon as I turned 18, and I worked on the presses at the Courier. The Courier at that time was a very large newspaper. They put out over 1 million copies a month, and transportation and stuff wasn't like it is nowadays. The Courier was a way for especially the black people in the Pittsburgh area to know what one another was doing and also know what was going on nationally. It was a very large paper.
I'm a resident advisor when I work with people who have mental health issues. And I'm also, as a minister, I have a program that's called XL Community Outreach. I do different programs, from anti-bullying programs to teaching self-defense classes, to Bible studies, to field trips, tutoring, strong emphasis on Black history and Black culture as well.
We've been sharing voices of labor from the Pittsburgh area, and somebody worked very hard is our Guess Who answer, Charlie Chaplin.
Next door to me, it's very, very sad. From picture plays has got to raise a Charlie Chaplin man. The youngest son, he's forced for fun, a Charlie Chaplin pain. And wears a funny looking bowler on his little brain. They're absolutely dotty, there's no doubt. And nicely when the family talks.
This is also of Christina Crawford.
The Charlie Chaplin walk, the Charlie Chaplin walk is all the talk. From London town to far New York, everybody's doing it. The girls go to see him every night, and they all think he's a treat. And the only thing they ever dream about is Charlie Chaplin's feet. They all do the Charlie Chaplin walk. The Charlie Chaplin walk is on the top. From London town to far New York, everybody's doing it. The girls go to see him every night, and they all think he's a treat. And the only things they ever dream about are Charlie Chaplin's feet. I've lately read when folks get wind, the bridegroom smart and gay, to raise a smile goes up the aisle in Charlie Chaplin way. And life in jail is never stale to make the prisoners laugh. They show them Charlie Chaplin in the cinematograph. And every time the convicts and the guards go exercising round the prison yard, they all do the Charlie Chaplin walk. The Charlie Chaplin walk is all the talk. From London town to far New York, everybody's doing it. The girls go to see him every night, and they all think he's a freak. And the only thing they ever dream about are Charlie Chaplin's feet. They all do the Charlie Chaplin walk. The Charlie Chaplin walk is all the talk. From London town to far New York, everybody's doing it. The girls go to see him every night, and they all think he's a treat. And the only thing they ever dream about are Charlie Chaplin's feet.
Our records show that that record is from 1913, the Charlie Chaplin walk. And I see that Ralph came up with the correct answer playing along on Facebook this morning. And there may be a few others, too, that I have missed, and I'm going to try my best to get to them. Hello to Lois and Gibsonia. Thank you for your request. We'll get to that as soon as we can. David and Franklin was playing along with Guess Who this morning. And I think we are up to date. Did I mention that Ed got the correct answer in Kaiser, West Virginia, in addition to other people I mentioned? I hope so. Let's see. Carol Channing, guessed by Rich. I mentioned two different Ralphs listening, new Charlie Chaplin. Cesar Cardini, creator of the Caesar salad. Who knew? Probably hangs out with Cobb and Garden and all those other salads, Waldorf, that are out there. I think we have a new game. Let's see, Captain Caveman, guessed by Andrew, and Chevy Chase we mentioned. Congrats again. If you were able to come up with Charlie Chaplin. More fun on the way with an opportunity for your phone calls, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the master comes. To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner, our glory shall be. While we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, yeah, we're toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and we'll labor till the master comes. There is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall. And the name of Jehovah exalted shall be. In the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, we're toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the master comes. To the work, in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward. When the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and we shall with the ransomed, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, people be toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, labor till the master comes, and labor till the master comes.
The great Kep Mo at the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for being with us today. If you're interested in the scrapple eating contest taking place in Allentown today that you heard Mr. and Mrs. Ed of Emlinton talk about as they were on route today, I just posted a link to it on Facebook, so I doubt there will be play-by-play or live coverage, but you never know, maybe. We had a request for Joe Hill coming up. Also a couple other labor-oriented requests that I'll try to do my best to get to.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle, including its free weekly newsletter, are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Growing up, I started out as a newspaper boy. From newspaper boy, I went to work in the grocery store. In the grocery store, I stocked shelves, rang register. Once I graduated from high school, I was what they called a stock boy at the time, and I worked myself all the way up to be a supervisor in a meat plant. Now, we processed meat for 65 stores in the Pittsburgh area at the time. The chain was called Kroger's, which is no longer in Pittsburgh, but it is still the largest grocery chain in the United States. And then I lucked out and got a government job with the post office, which I retired from after 20 years.
I remember when we grew up, my mother and father telling me, you can live here, you can eat here, you can sleep here, but don't ask for no money because you had graduated from high school. So I remember playing outside in these streets, and I went into a corner store. Like I said, I was 17. I was so thirsty. I wanted a juice, and I reached in my pocket, and I didn't even have a dime. It was like a Huggy back then. I didn't even have a dime to buy juice, and that's when I decided to get my job.
Here's to a great Labor Day weekend, and here is an opportunity for you now to join us in some improvisational conversation between you and me and a few other folks listening. Pudge, in some ways, got us started about, an hour ago or so. He mentioned that he had a job when he was 8 years old, throwing bales of hay on a farm, and he was paid 50 cents an hour. I had a job. I was older than that, though, at the age of about 14, as a restaurant dishwasher and busboy. I was paid 50 cents an hour. This was in 1978. And the guy would give me what he called a check stub, which was written in pencil and showed what he called taxes taken out of my pay, which I eventually realized was just him paying me likely less money than he was really paying me. But that job also paid 50 cents an hour. That seemed to be the ceiling around that time. I also delivered the Pittsburgh Press, and why can I still remember, but it was 3 cents for every daily paper and 6 cents for the Sunday papers. And Mr. Dugan was the boss that I would need to turn my money over to and turn my leftover papers over to. So, do you have a job, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a job you did in your childhood. It could be something you did in between jobs. A job that maybe you would be amazed, or you think that people would be amazed to know that such a job even exists. Or it could be a job that will forever be etched on your heart, but will probably never appear on your social media profile or on your resume. We would love to have you share that experience with us. Here's how to do it.
It's time to connect. Join us on or off the air by calling or texting us at 412-200-5975. You can also reach us at 1-888-752-7234 or through Interact Live at slbradio.org/radio. You're a big part of the Saturday Light Brigade.
Here's hoping we hear from you. 412-200-5975.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe says I am standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you'll find your hill. It's there you'll find your hill. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
Requested by Barb. And I want to get to David right away, who is in Franklin, Pennsylvania, but I think he may be driving. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you, Larry?
I'm good, thank you. Are you on the road right now?
Good. I'm just about to pull into a parking lot, so I'm hands-free and I can chat with you.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you for listening. And Ricky said that you had a very interesting job as a teenager. Tell me a bit about it.
Yeah, well, I think it was right after my senior year in high school. My father had connections in New York State government, and so he got me a summer job with the New York State Department of Transportation. Another high school friend and I got hired, and we rode the Amtrak train in the mornings from Albany, New York, down to New York City, handing out surveys on the train. And we spent the day wandering around the city and then came back in the evening and handed out more surveys. And the Department of Transportation, I think, was examining the rail routes to see, you know, what routes they wanted to continue. And so they hired me for the summer just to hand out surveys to people.
What a fun job. So almost like a census taker. And what did they do with these surveys? Did they mail them back, I guess? Or did you have to collect them, too?
Actually, no. We would hand them out, and then when we got nearer to the city, we would collect them.
Oh, that's right. And, they could fill them out.
Right. Some people that were daily commuters got so mad at us because we kept handing out surveys to them every day.
You got me yesterday. How can you not recognize me? I could see that.
Exactly. Right.
Well, you might. You might have critical, a critical part of the existing infrastructure that exists.
I asked my father about it at the conclusion, and he said yes, the Department of Transportation had made some changes to their schedule because of the work that we did. So
that is something. What a great story, and plus what a great opportunity to explore New York City on a regular basis.
My friend and I were just out of high school, so we just had a good time wandering around the downtown area, and it was one of my, I think it was my first paid real job. It's quite remarkable.
Do you recall what your wages were?
I don't, but I'm thinking this was 1969. I really don't know, but I'm thinking $5 an hour, but it might not have been that much.
Yeah, if it were the government, it was probably a legal wage. I think we had the minimum wage by that time. Well, what a great story. Thank you for sharing that, Dave.
Okay. And
it's nice to hear from you.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. You can call us 412-200-5975. Check this out. Aline in Maine says that her first job was inoculating baby chicks at a hatchery in Maine. Inoculating baby chicks, that would be hard work. And if I'm interpreting her notes correctly, $20 per graveyard shift. I don't think it's $20 an hour. I think it's $20 per shift that was her pay. Thank you, Aline. 412-200-5975. We're talking about jobs that might not be on your resume or your social media file, but will forever be in your heart. I've told you about a number of jobs that I had. One at Clairton Coke Works, where I was responsible for sampling the bug plant, which is where waste from the plant was processed. They called it the bug plant because it was bacteria that consumed a lot of the pollution in the water. And it was very important to make sure that the nitrification tank was aerated properly. And I would take either a sample or I would take the data itself and I would chart it in a little graph. And every day I would present to my boss a graph of what I called the aeration basin nitrification calculation. He didn't think it was as funny as I did, but I did get the job done and had a smile at the same time. Stu has got a job to tell us about in McCandless. Hello, Stu.
Good morning. Yeah, my first job was working in a county park. I don't know if anyone remembers the CETA system, C-E-T-A, I think. It's
oh, my gosh. I do.
Comprehensive Employment and Training Act. It was mid-70s, and it was basically take kids who in high school or early college and pay the minimum wage and have them do menial jobs. And my menial job was to work in this county park as a maintenance worker. It's my first actual paying W-2 type job. And one of the things that we ended up doing, and I want to say like the first week or so that I was there, is we went up along Park Road and planted trees. So these were fairly sizable saplings, probably about 4 feet high. And the holes are already dug. We didn't have to dig the holes, but we did have to take the trees out of the back of the truck and plunk them in and stake them down and all that. And I think we ended up putting in about 50 trees. Well, that was summer 1977. Summer of 2020, I had reason to spend a good bit of time up in that area, and I thought, oh, let me go take a look at the park. And those trees are 40 feet high now.
Wow. Yeah, that's 43 years later. Right. That's
so
incredible.
I took a nap under the tree, and I'm thinking, how often does a person get a chance to take a nap under a tree that they planted as a sapling? But just thinking back to my, you know, the summer after my freshman year of college, that was a cool thing to do.
That is incredible to think of. We have a tree in our backyard. You know, one of my later life jobs was working as director of environmental affairs for MSA, and we had Earth Day celebrations every now and then, and we would hand out white pine saplings, and I always felt bad if we had any left over. I tried to make sure that people took them, and we had a few leftovers, and we put one in our yard without much fanfare. We just wanted to plant it, and it is now probably 50 feet high. It's huge, and it's amazing to think that it grew from this 1 foot, you know, twig, and not a very healthy looking one at the time. And it's amazing how quickly trees can grow.
Yeah.
What a great story. Thank you for sharing that, Stu.
Sure.
Take care. And I want to offer a clarification to the wages. Aline was not telling me how much she made, but what the quota was. In every graveyard shift, she was required to inoculate 20,000 baby chicks. Wow. That's, what, about 2,400 an hour? That's a lot. I can only, which would be like 40. Wow. That's like one every few seconds. That's huge. We're talking about jobs that might not be on your resume, but are etched in your heart, or perhaps just memorable ones. They can be childhood or summer jobs or just interesting jobs in between. And here is Dust Bowl Jack with us now. Dust Bowl, I'm glad you're here this morning. What do you have to tell us about?
Well, we'll start in chronological order here. This was in, I was still in high school. I wasn't driving yet. And my father knew a gentleman who had, he lived in town, but he had some farmland out towards Mercer that he was cultivating. And my job, he picked me up at the house with his Jeep and drive over there. I'd spend a day spreading manure to fertilize the ground.
Lovely.
I can't remember what I got paid, but it was not a very pleasant job.
Wow.
Middle summer and that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was tough. I had other jobs in town too. The neighbor, I'd cut the lawn there, and then her sister had a home about four blocks away, and they'd drive me over there, and I'd use their lawnmower to cut grass over there. And those were jobs that I enjoyed doing. I can't tell you what the wage rate were there. They paid me well for the time. And then, after I got out of high school, I had a job at a fruit farm. And they gave you a bamboo pole, and they would tape a fan belt at the end, a loop.
Oh, wow.
And you go over to where the peaches were, and you had to knock some of the peaches off because if there were too many in a cluster, they wouldn't grow very big. So you would kind of like, you know, knock down the ones that would knock down some of them to make the fruit more bigger, I guess. And but that was a job that was extremely hard on my arms.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Hold on to a bamboo.
Yeah, and to hold it up above your head for an extended period of time, and you probably have to get the knack of knocking the peaches you want to prune away in just the right way, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it was sort of, yeah, it was a very tenuous job. And like I said, if you never did it before, you didn't have the muscles in your arms to get that whip action on there to get it to knock the peach down like that. But yeah.
Did you do that? Did you do that multiple summers or just one?
No, I did. I did it for 2 weeks, and I said, "Oh,
I was wondering about what your resilience would be on a job like that. That would be hard."
It was called a killer job. I in my estimation, it was killing my arms. So.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Well, those,
I gotta
those
tell you
are
what
great.
I did yesterday. I went. Can I tell you one more story? Or?
Sure. Yeah.
You got time? Okay. We got to the Geauga County Fair, which is the oldest fair in the state of Ohio. It's over 200 years of legs. I think it's like 203 years old. It's older than the state fair, and it's in Burton, Ohio, which is a Amish, you know, English community up there. And went up there, and the story on this place was, and they have a placard up there, a farmer who was overseeing the early stages of the fair, they were losing money, and they weren't doing very well. So he decided he wanted to save that. So he put his farm on the line. He mortgaged his farm, and he got it reorganized and got it built up some. And it continued on to come up with 200 years of entertainment and fair. It's started on Thursday. It's going to end on Monday. But, I went up there in particular to hear the Chardon Polka Band.
Mm.
Chardon out of Chardon, Ohio, and it's sort of an oddball band because it's not a true polka band. They're guys are like in their 40s, but they also play oldies too. So I'm going to say polka band / oldies band. But they all use the traditional polka instruments, accordions and tubas and keyboards and saxophone and piccolos and stuff like that. It's about a 6-piece band, and they travel all over the place. And they actually have a TV program come September on Channel 45 here. Well, the World According to Polka is going to be the name of it. It'll be like, I think, the third week of September on a Friday night. But they're very entertaining, and they dance around quite a bit. And it did 2 hours.
Wow.
2 hours up there. And it was took a little break there, but they were. And they said they've been doing that fair for 20 years now with that band.
That's amazing. I'm amazed at the legacy of the fair that you shared, and how had it not been for that farmer, that fair wouldn't be continuing. Jack, thank you. We're out of time for this hour, but
okay.
Thank you so much. And here's to a great Labor Day. Thanks for your stories. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRTP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams, radio.org, Tube City online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and slbradio.org/radio, where you will find links to our own streaming player, as well as TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and our Listen by Phone link at 631-359-8728.
1, 2, 3, 4.
For those who paint the undersides of boats, makers of ornamental drains on roofs,